Murder on the Dance Floor, Sophie Ellis-Baxter. She will be part of the entertainment down at Fleming today for the Melbourne Cup. That was huge on the dance floor, but the big dance is actually happening at Royal Randwick. there'll be a lot of people there. It's the Spring Carnival. But Royal Randwick for the $3 million The Big Dance, which I think the scheduled start time is 2:20 this afternoon. And a big shout out to local Newcastle trainer Chris Lees, who took out the inaugural edition of The Big Dance with Rustic Steel. That was a couple of years ago, and he's looking to win another, this time with one of the favourites, Tabby Time. Remember, gamble responsibly, and you win more than you lose. But have fun. Alrighty. This is sort of by way of introing my next guest. This was Gracie, who sent in a text earlier this morning and said, "Hello, Richard. I remember about 1,000 punters running towards bookmakers before a race at Randwick, before all these websites and technology changed the way we bet. Oh, technology has changed everything." He is our IT and gadget guru. He's got a wonderful website, techguide.com.au. That's Stephen Fenwick. He's on the line. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Richard. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Yeah, the world of betting, it's certainly changed radically thanks to technology, hasn't it, Stephen?
As it ever. Yeah. You popping down to the tab is the thing of the past. You can just grab the device in your pocket and put on a bet and it's as easy as that, and as a result, the betting market, the whole category has just exploded in size. It's everywhere. It's something that Aussies have had an affection for, having a bit of a flutter, but now it's as close as their pocket.
Yeah, the old thing about, you know, two flies crawling up the wall or whatever. we love a bet. So will you have your eyes on the Melbourne Cup this afternoon, Stephen?
Mate, I will, yes. I normally have a watch. I always back whatever it is, number 21. 21's my lucky number, so positivity is number 21 this year. It's $100 to 1, but you never know. In the cup, might make a handy part of a trifecta, possibly.
Well, good luck, and do it responsibly, Stephen.
Of course.
The 3G network was shut down last week, but apparently there are some people using 4G or 5G compatible phones, but have been left without usable service because they can't make 000 calls. And there's been, apparently, the ACCC is monitoring retailers to make sure they don't sell mobile phones that are no longer able to make 000 calls, because if you can't make a 000 call, you shut off all the networks, aren't you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, look, the telcos have actually been pretty good here. They've been trying to make sure their customers aren't left stranded in the event of an emergency. They've got to make sure their device can ring 000. So there were the problem before was there were some 4G devices that couldn't make 000 calls because they didn't have the VoLTE, voice over 4G functionality, which used to be done through the 3G networks. Now that's gone. It has to do that. The other issue, Richard, is that there are some people, some Aussie customers who have purchased phones overseas, and they're suddenly finding that after the 3G shutdown, even though they're 4G compatible, they're not working. Some of them have been shut out of the network. So that's a thing to sort of think about. If you have purchased a phone overseas, and it might have the generic frequencies for the different networks, but unless it's optimized for the Australian network, there's no guarantee it's going to work. So especially now with the shutdown of 3G, those number of frequencies are now, there's a reduced number of frequencies for it to be compatible with. So if you are purchasing, be very careful. I know that there's a lot of people who buy from retailers, like online retailers like Kogan, for example. Kogan sell their phones. They're often grey imports from overseas. I had a reader contact me. They bought a Samsung from Kogan, and they had trouble with it. They went to Samsung to get a warranty, address it through warranty, and they got knocked back because the phone wasn't purchased in Australia and wasn't optimised for Australian conditions. So they had no recourse but to go back through Kogan and hopefully resolve it. So be very careful.
Optus have been in the news. I mean, Optus and Telstra shut their 3G networks last Monday, but Optus, yeah. They've had to issue an apology. And this is in response to these allegations made by the ACCC over inappropriate rate practices and exploiting vulnerable customers.
Yeah.
And particularly Indigenous Australians, and particularly in the Northern Territory, apparently.
Yeah, there were some, and Optus were quick to point out these were sort of licensee stores, Optus stores. In regional areas, and the ACCC found that they were selling phones to customers who were suffering disabilities, had reduced cognitive capacity, a lot of First Nations peoples, others suffering disabilities, people who were unemployed and had no real way to pay back the fees and everything like that. So it was, they came in the ACCC sites, and they've now been found to have a case to answer. This also happened a few years ago. Telstra was fined $50 million by the federal court in 2021 for this exact thing, for inappropriate sales, and it involved Indigenous customers. So they were trying to take advantage of the allegation was they were trying to take advantage of these vulnerable customers, selling them plans they had no way of paying back or keeping track of. So the Optus has been hauled over the coals here again with the ACCC, and probably can expect a fine of similar size. We're talking like tens of millions of dollars here, and the stand-in CEO, Michael Venter, has issued that apology, and he did point out the fact that, yes, they were wrong, but the customers are going to be giving their money back. A lot of them are going to allow to keep the devices as well, even though deal is no longer on. So
yeah.
It's messy, mate. They've got to be responsible for things like this. It's just not a good look for a company that big to be knowingly selling plans and product to people who they know can't pay it back.
Hear, hear. Look, I mentioned before, we have a Thursday night group, we have dinner, and I can't get over now. The topic of conversation is what latest series they're watching on streaming services. And apparently this new report from Deloitte shows that Aussies are now spending more time watching content on streaming devices than on free-to-air TV these days, Stephen.
That's it, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? And the whole approach of that report is that, do you remember before streaming, before even the internet, that there was a prime time of watching TV. Everyone used to tune in at the same time. You have dinner, then all the great shows are on at that time. Well, prime time's become a thing of the past. It's whatever you want, because it's a lot of stuff on demand. It is, as you said, we're now watching just as much on average streaming services as we are free-to-air. And for many Australians, it'd be the other way. They'd be watching more streaming than free-to-air, way more.
Yeah.
So you'll see now, like, you look at free-to-air TV, and they're leaning into their strengths, which streaming really can't match, and that's live sport, although there is some streaming on live, Stan has sport on their streaming. But news, live streaming, reality TV, they seem to be the big three that free-to-air are excelling at. So scripted entertainment, TV series, movies, that's sort of gone now towards this into the streaming world, whereas reality, news, live sport, that's obviously free to air. We're still consuming that. So really interesting report. It also delves into how much less time Gen Z, so a lot of younger people are spending less time not only watching any kind of content, but also less time on social media. They've become aware, that generation has become aware that spending all that time on social media when they didn't mean to is probably not something they're not happy with, and they're also very distrustful of a lot of the content. They reckon only 40% of what they see online is real, whereas they reckon nearly 75% of what they see on free-to-air TV can be trusted.
Oh, so that's interesting.
It really goes back to those sort of traditional media outlets that are delivering stuff that's actually accurate.
Gary sent in a text earlier this morning. I know you love your electric vehicle. Gary said, just a little information on EV vehicles. I'm heading towards 50 years as a motor mechanic and 42 years in business. For a mechanic to work on an EV vehicle, they need to have a dead man's harness, thick rubber gloves and protective footwear, and a special safe working area to protect us from the over 600 amps of current. I'm curious what happens when drivers believe their cars are boats or submarines when driving through floodwaters. Electricity and water don't mix. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, 600 amps, that's quite a bit of output. That's quite a bit of power. I'm not aware of that. Of the battery in every EV is protected the same way a massive tank of flammable liquids protected in a normal internal combustion engine. I just actually had my EV service yesterday. My Mercedes took it down. 3 hours later, it was ready to go. It seemed a routine procedure, and also had my Tesla serviced as well. I wasn't seeing anyone walking around in protective gear and thick gloves when they were servicing my car. So not sure where he's coming from then.
Well, and this business about driving into water. I mean, all cars have electrics, so if
of course,
I can remember I had a Mini Miner there for
my Tesla through 2 feet deep water, no problem at all.
Yeah. Well, I used to have a Mini Miner with the Cooper S engine, and they quite often used to cut out because they're so low to the ground and water could really shut them down very quickly.
Well, what shuts it down is the fact that they've got an exhaust pipe, so if it gets in the exhaust and you're gone. But that's one thing an EV doesn't have.
All right, always good to talk to you, mate. Do you have a selection for the race this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm going to back 21, as I normally do, but I do like Warp Speed. I'm a bit of a sci-fi fan, so Warp Speed, number 4, I reckon that might be a show as well.
Okay.
And I reckon, are you backing Knight's Choice, mate, being up there in Newcastle?
Yeah, and look, I've had quite a few...
20-1, but you never know.
Well, and there's I think it's slightly cloudy or something or other. A number of people have rung up, and I think that's 100-1.
Yeah.
And they're the ones you want to get across the line. All right, mate.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun. Good on you, Richard.
Yeah, you have a good day. Stephen, always good to talk to you. Have a great week. We'll catch up next Tuesday. Stephen Fenwick, our IT and gadget guru. He's got a great website, techguide.com.au.